B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Bob Cooney. Jamie Lynch. And Sam Wilson. Now, start your day with Farzetta and Trey on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome into day two of the Homebound broadcast. Mark Farzetta with you. Trey Thomas is in front of his wall full of balls. Trey, good morning, my friend.
Good morning.
Looking fantastic on Twitch. Bob Cooney, how you feeling today, my friend?
Feeling great, boys. How we feeling?
Bobby! We got Bobby right out of the gate here. Jamie, you in? You settled in your new studio?
Reporting for duty from my third floor. Hopefully it sounds a little better
look
than
at
yesterday.
You.
Oh, it does sound better.
Oh, pristine.
Good.
Absolutely.
I can't say you look better, but you sound better.
Well, this is irreparable, Bobby.
This is just what we have to deal with. Sam Wilson, we got you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Roll call complete. Look at that.
Can we sing the Pledge of Allegiance now?
Can I go to the bathroom? So what the hell, Sixers, basically, is where we're going to start off with. Right out of the gate, we got a lot to get to. Some fun stuff. Some people actually trying to make some people smile across, not even just Delaware Valley, across the world, as a matter of fact. One person in particular, that person's name is Neil Diamond. We'll get to that a little bit later. We'll start with this. The Sixers are doing something that right out of, anybody looking at this from the outside looking in, this is terrible. This is a terrible look, bottom line. When somebody is worth $3.8 billion the way Josh Harris is net worth, and owns a number of different sports franchises, and he's going to be cutting pay 20%, of employees making 50 grand or more. That is atrocious. And when you read into it, the first thing I thought of, well, wait a minute, he's cutting pay. Does that mean the workers that he agreed to pay during the shutdown of sports, the guys that are the ushers, is that who he's talking about? Well, no, it's not those guys. It's the guys actually within the Sixers organization, not necessarily working for the Wells Fargo Center. So it's who, Bob? It's not just Scott O'Neill. It's not just Dave Hack. It's not just Elton Brand, who said that they would take part in this program. It's a slew of other people that are making around $50,000. So who is it in the organization that's being affected by this?
Well, I would say front office people, maybe sales people, equipment managers, behind the scene guys that take care of the travel for the team. It's a bunch of guys that really, I'm not saying can't afford, but why?
Can least afford some of these guys are taking?
You're an owner that's worth $4 billion, and I know for a fact, that when this whole process thing was going, salespeople, people that were working analytics, all of those were working unbelievable hours to try to turn this organization around and probably not getting properly compensated for it. And now you're going to take money out of their pockets? Horrible, horrible look.
Now, first off, I'm thinking about the look aspect of it. And look, saying it's a bad look, and I use that same phrase, and I know that's been across, Trey, I'm sure you've seen it across social media, it's a bad look. Uh-huh. But, I mean, it's a bad actuality. I mean, the fact of the matter is, you are cutting pay of your employees. Now, the Sixers, to argue their side of the story, they're saying, hey, look, it's not just the guys that are on the lower end of the totem pole here, so to speak. It's Scott O'Neill. It's Dave Hack. It's guys across the board, really, even Elton Brand, saying that they're agreeing to take part in this, what's being called a program, in order to make sure they don't lay off anybody. They're cutting down hours. They're going from a five-day work week to a four-day work week, and they're cutting pay up to 20% of employees making over $50,000. I mean, this is something that is a bad actuality. I mean, we know how it looks, but the actuality of it, of all the people that are affected, from the top brass to the people that are at the other end of the spectrum here, they're being affected greatly in a time where a lot of people are crying, they're not crying, but a lot of people are
acknowledging the fact that they are falling on hard times as well. So just as a professional sports franchise, I mean, think about this for a second, Trey. This is a team that played their last game 13 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Then think about it from the other perspective. Josh Harris and his group also own the New Jersey Devils, and they played their last game 14 days ago, two full weeks ago. So are these franchises, are they really living paycheck to paycheck this close? These owners, are they really that close to paycheck with these budgets for these teams where 2 weeks go by and all of a sudden they got to start slashing budget? That's what it seems like.
Yeah, I know it doesn't look good. It's like a bad feel. But, you know, one of the things I look at it when it comes to business, you know, it's one of those tough situations that I know a lot of people aren't going to agree with, but it's keeping them from cutting jobs. So mm-hmm. you're saying, okay, you know what? We're going to have to pull back. We're going to have to make some cutbacks. It is tough. I know it is extremely tough, but I know that that's the part of running a business. I know that, yeah, there are billionaires, and yes, they are. They do have a budget that they're trying to keep everything under, but they're also taking a big hit as well. Now, I do want to see people make money and be able to sustain and keep their families going, but I also see the other side of it as well, where it's kind of like, you know, yeah, I'm a billionaire, but also with this is my business. I'm expecting for it to run a certain type of way. I have a certain type of a budget that I need to stay under. You know, it's a tough situation on both sides.
Sure, and I know where most people go, and I try. From the first show we did, I said we weren't going to do hot take radio. We were going to present the facts. We were going to give our opinions on it based off our, you know, the research we had done to prepare for those opinions. But after all that, Trey, and it ran through my mind, $3.8 billion. Like $3.8 billion you last played 13 days ago. The first phrase that came to mind is what I just told you. Paycheck to paycheck for a 3.8 billionaire? How do you not cover expenses? How do you not cover costs? How is it that close to really just going into the shallow end of the money pool? I mean, Bob, just the corporate structure of the NBA, I know people have issues with it when they talk about the salary cap and all that, but you're worth $3.8 billion. How does it come to this so fast?
That's just him, too. Don't forget about what the Sixers are worth as an organization. I mean, they were bought, you know, by Josh Harris, what, 7 years ago, something like that. And the organization, the worth of it has gone through the roof since they took over. So it's not, they're not hurting for money. Let's not, you know, we all know that they're not hurting mm-hmm. for money. It's just like, couldn't there have been other ways that you do this? Like, you're really hitting the pockets. Now, look, there's people in the Sixers organization that travel with the team, okay, that are there. Trey, you know this. The mm-hmm. behind-the-scenes people that are there all the time. When they travel, they get a per diem also. So that's also not part of their salary, but that's they're not getting that either. And now you're going to take 20% of their salary also? I don't get it. I don't get why they had to go to this extreme, especially this early also.
And I know they also try to cushion the blow by saying that they're going to get involved, I believe it was in Camden and Philadelphia more, and help out with food deliveries, I believe it is. So they're going to be spending money in some aspect, but they're, I guess, redirecting funds. I don't know how all of this works, but I know on the outside looking in, it's terrible to think that it's this close to the point of just where they played, not even 2 weeks ago yet for the Sixers, and they're already cutting players' salaries, they're cutting people's salaries from sales to equipment to front office executives. And I'll say this, and Bob, maybe I'm reading this wrong, but, I mean, Elton Brand, Scott O'Neill, Dave Hack, all these guys that are in the upper brass, of course, in the front office, guys, different members of the coaching staff, apparently they didn't have to take part in it, but they chose to. Is that the way I should be reading this?
I read it that coaches were given the option to do it, but they don't have to. Now, as far as Scott O'Neill goes and the Josh Harrises of the world, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if they have, you know, what their salaries, if they're taking 20% off. That I don't know. Elton Brand, I don't know. I would assume he is. You know, if you're going to do that to your employees, I assume you have to do it to yourself also. But as far as I could tell, coaches and the likes – had the option of whether they could do it or not. I guess there's a contractual thing that maybe they don't have to.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume, but I know some of these people that are being cut, already has, or rather their salaries are being cut, are saying that this is a situation where they have to take it. At $50,000, around $50,000, people got to take pay cuts of about 20%. That is up to 20%. It just seems extremely wrong at a time like this. And I know these aren't just the people. First of all, I do applaud the people if Elton Brand and Dave Hack and Scott O'Neill, if they are taking that pay cut when they don't have to, then I appreciate that, because that means they're not letting go.
You don't think that they are taking
the pay cut?
They don't need to. They don't have to. That doesn't affect them a little bit. No, I don't applaud it. I don't applaud millionaires taking a 20% pay cut to make something.
But what if it means that five other people get to keep their job?
Oh, that's all I'm saying. Okay,
yeah.
I got you. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I am looking for the silver lining in all this, and believe me, it's a very thin silver lining, but I'm also looking at the other aspect of it. And again, not to hot take people here, but to look at all the facts, if that means that a couple other people can keep their jobs that they don't have to let go, then yes, then I'll recognize that, to be fair. Bottom line is, this is BS. Yeah, I mean, there's no other way. $3.8 billion for one of the owners? Yeah, come on.
And we're talking about people losing jobs already? They've been out for 2 weeks. I mean, what are we talking about here? I understand. Look, to be a good businessman, you have to look into the future. You have to see what things are going to be about, and that's how these guys have become hugely successful. But, man, is there a little bit of humanization in these guys? I mean, a little bit of, you know, thinking of other people? And real quick, when I talk about ownership group, I do not include Elton Brand in that. This whole thing to me is a Scott O'Neill, Josh Harris, David Blitzer, Chris Heck, those guys. I don't include Elton Brand into that group for some reason. I just don't.
What if, as an organization, they showed you how much they were losing because of how much is how long they've been off without any revenue coming in over these past couple of weeks because you've had to shut down the games? Would that affect everybody's feeling on them having to make this decision?
Like, well, my next question, Trey, would be, all right, show me how much you make when things are going on.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's going to blow your mind away more than how much they're losing, I would say.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, I was, when I saw it last night, I was utterly shocked.
Somebody sent it to me, and again, the first thought I had, and Jamie, you probably saw it the way most of us did, Mark Stein put it out there from the New York Times.
Yeah.
And somebody actually sent me the story, and the first thought I had, I was like, wait a minute, I was just applauding these people for taking care of the people that are the ushers in the building, the security in the building, and making sure those people stayed on the payroll, the people that look at this and either as a secondary income or it's a retirement gig, and the Sixers said they would take care of them during this shutdown. And then I see this story, and I was like, wait a minute, are they taking this back? Then you read it closer. No, it's about the Sixers employees themselves, not just the employees of the Wells Fargo Center. It's never a good look when the billionaires are saying to the other people, the people at the other end of the spectrum, hey, you know what? You're going to be taking a pay cut here because I need to save a couple of bucks while I still maintain my billionaire status. So you see it come across from Mark Stein last night. What was your first reaction?
My first reaction was, you know, well, here on the radio, it's like my mother always taught me, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say it at all. because look, I understand what Trey's saying, and from a business run perspective, times are changing, times are weird. But, I mean, just the optics on this alone are horrible. I mean, like you said, the guy, what they make as a league, as an ownership group, Mark Cuban has no problem keeping his employees fully paid. It's just, it's unfortunate because, you know, we know a lot of people down there. And to think, you know, the real effect it has on people you know, it's just like, man, that's unbelievably tough. There's enough kind of anxiety out there amongst the public in general right now with the state of everything. And to hit people in the wallets, look, it's great you can keep your job, but, you know, it's a tough time for that to come across.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, when I was actually when I saw this story, I was just reading the story from Mark Cuban talking about basically setting an over under of May 1st. As to when the NBA could come back. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, this is a guy that has agreed to pay. And right at the moment, during the last basketball game in which his team was playing, he's being interviewed saying, we've already looked ahead. We saw the problem coming. So we have a program set up to actually take care of our own employees. And you thought, oh, now that's great. And then you see a day or two later, the story comes out with the Sixers taking care of their employees for the Wells Fargo Center. Hey, that's great. And now, again, not even 2 full weeks removed, 13 days removed, you're talking about pay cuts within the Sixers organization. You're talking about players. And this became a question, actually, the day following the Sixers-Pistons game, whether or not NBA players would be paid. Well, we'll know about that, April 15th, we're supposed to know whether or not they're going to get their full game checks or not.
Yeah.
So we'll look at that. There's so many different angles to this story, but the bottom line is billionaires not paying the people working for them, not paying them fully. Their argument is, hey, if we do this, that means we don't have to lay off people. It's not like we're paying them the less amount of money to do more work or the same amount of work. They're having them do it at 4 days a week as opposed to 5 days a week while they're cutting their salaries 20%. Still, bottom line is $3.8 billion is what your principal owner, your managing partner, is worth, and you're cutting the salaries of guys making around 50 grand. It's a horrible, horrible look. It's a horrible, horrible actuality.
Yeah, Mark, just to that point, like I saw I didn't read the whole article, but I read like the first, you know, paragraph and title. I believe it was a New Jersey pizza shop owner took out a $50,000 loan from his bank so that he could continue paying his employees over these next 2 months. And you see the opposite side of it like that, and you're just like, man, you know, like, how can that be rationalized?
Well, you also look at it like this, and you talk about the 3.8, and I know that number will come up a lot with callers today, with people that tweet the show. It'll come up a lot just between all of us. But the other thing is that when you do mention a guy like Mark Cuban, Josh Harris worth $3.8 billion, Mark Cuban $4.3 billion net worth. So, I mean, you think about it right there, and it's actually I know to the common man it's not close, but to the billionaire world, it's not that far off. And he's still taking care of all his people.
Now, the key thing to this is that term, that at-will employees, mm-hmm. you know, where, and I had to look this up, and it's like, okay, at any point, they can be fired as long as it's not illegal. So...
Oh, yeah, Pennsylvania's an at-will state, baby.
Yeah,
so, you know, give me something. it's just not a good look, and it's a bad situation. I know both ends are in a tough situation. You don't want to see it, but man, it's just you'd hate to see it, though. It's just, it sucks.
Anonymous 69 tells us thoughts and prayers for Josh Harris. So there you go. Then something else we're going to get into a little bit. That's on Twitch, by the way. A couple other things we're going to get to today. Ladies and gentlemen, Dick Pound has spoken. He has spoken again. And, Trey, I know you were excited about this. You were excited to hear from Dick Pound again. Those Olympics might be postponed. Turns out, according to Dick Pound, they're gonna be suspended, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, Dick Pound pulled out. You know,
apparently. Now,
yeah, so,
I have
it was said that maybe he was practicing, I got to look up this yoga term. It's Tantra or something like that. I have to look it up.
Oh, yeah, Sting is big into Tantra sex. Like, Sting apparently will have sex for, like, 48 hours.
Dude, how do you know this?
Who doesn't?
Wealth of useless information, Bobby. But who would honestly want to have sex for 2 hours? Or for 2 days? That sounds terrible.
It's a lot. I mean, it's a lot
exhausting.
Of pressure. Yeah, it does. It's
sounding... Are you like George Costanza? Like, do you have a sandwich?
Trade for the challenge. Yeah, pastrami is the most sensual of the cured meats, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get a sandwich or something. Keep your energy up. I mean, you know,
definitely.
Get a little apple break. I don't know.
Yeah, can I get a power bar, babe?
Get a little protein shake. I don't know. Drink a Gatorade. Who knows?
Yeah, but Sting is the king of tantra sex. So it's all about harnessing, I think, your chi and focusing it or something. My wife's into yoga. I don't know.
I thought you were going to say she was into something else, James.
No, I wish. I mean, that sounds exhausting, but that'd be cool.
But it's all about prolonging the process. And with Dick Wolf, Dick Pound.
Dick Wolf. Dick Wolf is actually going to be the executive producer of the Dick Pound documentary.
Let's think of Law and Order first. So Dick Pound said, look, we're just going to prolong it a little bit. You know, let's see how it plays out. So maybe it was the Tantra.
Yeah, well, Dick Pound, the thing is here, he said that it's going to be canceled. However, postponed.
Postponed.
And he said it's going to be postponed, except one thing. As powerful as Dick Pound is, Dick Pound does not have the power to postpone the IOC.
Oh.
So it's still up in the air, but it definitely
Canada
looks like
Canada and Australia said we're out.
Yeah, Canada was the first, I believe, to go, yeah, we're not doing this. And Dick Pound, don't forget, is also a Canadian.
Yes.
I also found out the Dick Pound's full name. And it's amazing he goes by Dick, to be honest with you. We also, now per reports, I didn't know this either, but I don't know if she's a member of the IOC, but on our airwaves through the overnight here, a lady reported that Dick Pound, when he says things, often shoots from the hip. So we have audio of that, and we will make sure that we convey that message to our listening audience when it comes to whether or not the Olympics will, in fact, be postponed for the Tokyo Games. We have a number negotiation, apparently. We talked a little bit about Darius Slay yesterday taking Kobe Bryant's number 24 to wear as a member of the Eagles. It looks like another, and then, Trey, this could really pose some problems here because it's whether or not you're on one side of the fence or the other about whether or not you can allow somebody to wear the number 25 after LeSean McCoy. And that came up yesterday with Craven LeBlanc.
Why wouldn't you?
He's close to possibly being retired.
But he's not retired.
Kulikadi Vaitai wears 72. He shouldn't be doing that either.
I agree with that, Bobby.
We all agree. We're all on the same page.
Possibly being retired is totally different from being retired.
That's correct.
Yeah.
One is, the other may be. You know what I'm saying? So we got that to get into. I love seeing this. And Trey, I know you saw this as well. Javon Hargrave did a conference call yesterday with the assembled Philadelphia media to kind of get introduced to our beat writers and whatnot in our assembled media. And he said that players dream of playing in a scheme like this. Now, normally, and Hargrave didn't shy away from this, normally when a player comes to town, they talk about the different players they're going to play with, how excited they are, a guy like Fletcher Cox, a guy like Malik Jackson. But he, after mentioning those names, Javon Hargrave also said that the scheme is what attracted him to Philadelphia. So, Trey, I want you to go in-depth with us, maybe even a little slight version of off-season trench talk, with what's so great about that scheme.
Okay.
When it comes to the Eagles, because it wasn't just the players, it was also the scheme. So that means Jim Schwartz. Cowboys took a hit yesterday, and that's more of on a serious note. Adam Schefter's worst fear kind of came to life yesterday with the medical people being on such high demand, they might not be able to do player physicals at the NFL level. So my number one question is, well, how are any of these deals done without getting a physical? I mean, don't you have a pending physical? A lot of these deals really can't go through, can they, Trey?
Well, it depends on if this player has some type of injury history. You know, if a guy made it through the season without any season injury or surgery during the offseason or whatever, I'm pretty sure they'll check with the doctors and it's like, all right, you're good to go. We'll check you out as a team once they reconvene. So I don't see it being that big of a deal unless it was someone that had surgery, like I said, during the offseason.
Okay. We also have, Jamie, you found this. PhillyVoice.com put together the streaming bracket, I believe.
Yeah.
It. Netflix, Hulu, Prime Video, HBO Go. And we'll look at some of the shows in those different types of brackets. I know a lot of people are doing brackets right now. We'll at least run through that because I know you, Jamie, and Trey have a very interesting program that I know is being talked about virally. And I haven't checked it out yet, so I look forward to your review on that. We got some other fun things going on. Jake Elliott had some golf trick shots. Funny that that came out shortly after we had asked Jamie. Do you have your putting green at your house, Jamie?
I believe it's in the closet. I will grab it during the break.
We will give people play-by-play of the quarantine open, okay? So we'll do a little bit of that, and the quarantine classic, maybe. I don't know what we'll call it yet, but we'll do some play-by-play, Jamie, of you putting. Now, how long is your putting green? Approximately.
About 6 feet.
A personal question.
6 feet, okay.
That's a good size.
All right, we got that, and we'll also talk about, you know, what everyone's talking about still, which is the coronavirus, COVID-19. I was looking at the news yesterday, and I have not left my house. Since I got home from the show Friday, I have not left my house.
Wow.
I opened my door once for a food delivery, and like I said, I wiped down all the food with the disinfecting wipes and all that stuff. I have not left my house. So looking at the news, the streets are wide open. I saw the Holiday Inn in Center City. If it comes down to it, might be a quarantine hotel for people that are being treated for COVID-19. So much to get into as well. And a 45-minute test could be around as early as next week to help people out to figure out whether or not they have COVID-19. So a lot to get to today. We'll get to it all that and more coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
6 o'clock hour brought to you by United Rentals Power and HVAC. For all your power generation and HVAC rentals in the tri-state area, visit unitedrentals.com. As I continue to think about the Sixers and this pay cut, the more disgusted I am by it. And it was almost a saving grace that after reading it, I was almost relieved. Like, think about how messed up that is. I was relieved that it wasn't the people that work the stadium, the people that are in security, the people that are the ushers, because they had already come out and said, oh, no, we're taking care of them. So I thought, oh, my God, are they recanting that? And then it comes out that these people are the people are amount $50,000. And Mark Stein came out with the report yesterday that made everybody kind of go, wait, what's going on here? And the number that you're going to keep on hearing throughout the show today from a lot of different people is the $3.8 billion from Josh Harris and how they're going to allocate the money that guy's worth to maybe take care of some of the people working for him and his organization. And Bobby brought up a great point during the process years when the team wasn't making a lot of money in terms of ticket sales and there was nobody at the Wells Fargo Center and they were still towards the bottom in attendance and all that. That those people were very loyal and working towards the cause of advancing this franchise to the next level. And being on the phone trying to sell people on Ish Smith and Isaiah Cannon and other names like that. I mean, those are the people that were very loyal to the cause that the 76ers were dedicated to at the time. Whether or not you just call it the process or whether or not you call it the tank, whatever you call it, those people were trying to push a product that nobody at that given time wanted, but they may have wanted right now, down the line when the Sixers started to bear a little bit of fruit with at least knowing that you were going to go see a competitive product at the Wells Fargo Center. But with the Sixers cutting 20%, cutting work days down to 4 days a week instead of five, and this is just less than 2 weeks after playing their last game, Mark Stein of the New York Times comes out with a story telling you what I just told you. Talking about contracted employees such as members of the Sixers coaching staff and front office have also been asked to participate in the program but cannot be forced to do so, according to a person briefed on the situation who was not authorized to discuss it publicly. Elton Brand. Also, Jake Reynolds, who's the Devils president as well, Chris Heck and Harris Blitzer, sports management and entertainment CEO Scott O'Neill, have also agreed to participate in the program, according to the person. So when you look at all that, is it possible that they are saving a couple of jobs here? Or should we be focused more so, Bob, on the people that are around that $50,000 mark?
I hear you about the saving jobs, and that's a great question, but I just keep going back to already.
Right.
Like, already? You're 2 weeks out. And listen, these guys make billions and millions because they are great businessmen. But where's the humanity of this? Mm-hmm. 2 weeks into it, they're already forecasting what they're going to lose, what they could do. Nobody else is doing this. I love businessmen that are at the forefront of things and think things out. For the positive, these guys looked at something negative and wanted to be the first ones to say, yeah, we need to cut some salaries. Mm-hmm. Really? Already? I don't get it.
These guys are billionaires. These guys are so great with money because they've made tough decisions like this. But at the other part, where's the ingenuity? Where's the creativity in finding a way to where you don't have to offer pay cuts or you don't have to make people take pay cuts? Where's that? Like, these guys, I'm sure, saved a couple of bucks along the line to get to the point that they're at. So where's that kind of, I don't know, intuitive financial know-how to figure out a way to make sure people don't have to take any kind of cut here? Where, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, why isn't that
part of this process. Why do you have to jump to this so quickly? It's not like this is removing an entire season. Again, you talk about the ordinary average Joe living paycheck to paycheck. When you talk about these franchises and the billions of dollars that they're worth, well, where's the fortitude to understand? Where's the process in figuring out a way to make sure these people don't have to take the hit this early in this process that we're all in right now? It doesn't make any sense to me, and I know that it'll be constantly brought up that these guys are in the spot that they're in right now because of making those tough decisions, and this no doubt is a tough decision, but how is this the decision when you've seen to make so many other good decisions in the business world? How is this one the one you fall on? That's what makes no sense to me in trying to come up with something to justify this, even in my own rational thought.
Yeah, I mean, even in these trying times, you're looking to the turbo wealthy to kind of have a bleeding heart for the common folk. And somebody that's worth nearly $4 billion, it's really hard to imagine any scenario where he couldn't be donating to his employees' funds, let alone cutting it.
Mm-hmm. And the other part is that Scott O'Neill came out with a statement last night that you've seen in a couple of different newsreels and all that. And it does talk about getting involved in the community. But if they're doing that, what about your own community or the people that had been working for you? Because those people are still in our community, are they not? It's not like these people are working for another NBA franchise. It's not like these people, even for the New Jersey Devils people, it's not like they're out there going to another team to go work for them. These are all people within our Philadelphia community, all people in Camden, Philadelphia, Delaware, all the Delaware County, for instance. These are all people that are being affected greatly by this. It's not just the higher-ups that may or may not be saying, oh, yeah, I'll take part in this if it means saving a couple of jobs. It's the people that are going to be out up to 20% of their paycheck. I can't go back to it enough. The average Joe going paycheck to paycheck, I can't think of an NBA franchise doing the same thing. Trey, if you're playing for an organization and you see that as a player, how do you take that? If you're listening to your upper management brass talk about how they're going to be cutting the paycheck of a lot of people that, by the way, you've become friendly with, the equipment people, for instance, maybe even people in sales that hook you up with some tickets to take care of families and all that stuff. If you're a player, how do you look at this?
I know you would feel bad about it, but also, too, the players are probably looking at it as they don't know if they're going to be getting their last checks for the season. So, they're looking at they might be taking cuts as well. Mm-hmm. This is a tough situation, especially when you say, OK, where's the how can they get creative and try to bring in? Because what they need to do, they have to make money so that they can pay mm-hmm. the employees. So there's no way that they can pivot, I guess, as a organization, because you can't bring the players into a gym. You can't host a scrimmage or a game to get people out. And also, too, if you have other people that are out there that aren't working, that aren't getting paid, then how are they going to be able to afford the ticket price to even make money so that they could continue to pay some of these employees? I think it's a extremely tough situation for both sides to be in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. But the thing that we'll keep on going back to is these guys are the rich. And there's people that are going to get pay cuts around that are making around $50,000. And look, somebody could explain it to me. Somebody with a business degree could explain how all this is supposed to make sense. Regardless, people are hurting in our community, and this hurts a lot of people in our community. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. When we come back, there is somebody that is trying to make everybody feel a little bit better here. And, I think he actually did an okay job. We'll jump into that. We also have Bob from Philly wants to talk about the Sixers pay cut and their situation. Maybe he can help explain it to us a little further. 610-632-0975. Coming up, 7 o'clock, Javon Hargrave did his first media session on a conference call with members of the Philadelphia media. And, Trey, I know this made your eyebrows raise. Mm-hmm. This is a guy that's looking forward not just to the teammates he's about to line up with on the Eagles' defensive line, the Eagles' stacked defensive line, but also play in the scheme itself. We'll talk about that in a little bit here on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, Trey, this is a conversation we've never had, and I've never asked you, and I should have asked you probably the first show we did. Where do you stand on Neil Diamond?
Who?
Neil Diamond.
Sweet
on Neil
Caroline?
Diamond? Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's all I know. Sweet Caroline.
Do you remember the Will Ferrell skit on SNL with the baby in blue jeans?
You bet you're Neil Diamond.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
oh, that's
good.
A good one, Trey.
Neil Diamond, Will Ferrell's Will Neil Diamond has taken over almost like Norm MacDonald's Burt Reynolds. Like, I remember more of the impression than I remember the actual singer or the actual person. Well, Neil Diamond, it's a feel-good song. I don't think you could go to any karaoke bar ever and not hear somebody rock out Sweet Caroline, right? I mean, that is just that popular. Fenway Park, they're always playing it, obviously. So here's the thing. Neil Diamond decided to reach out to the good people of the world and give us a song parody, given the times, for Neil Diamond. Now, here's the thing. Is it appropriate to do something like this? Because I've had a couple of song parodies cross my mind, and I just wanted to take a listen to Neil Diamond. Are we ready to hear stuff like this? Because I know some people are already talking about whether or not we can crack jokes. And here's Neil Diamond trying to put a smile on some people's faces.
Hands, washing hands, reaching out. Don't touch me, I won't touch you.
But the deal, what happened to Neil? Did Neil die?
It did the right thing there. That song sucked.
That song sucked? You like the parody?
Yeah. No, it sucked.
The song it sucked, or the timing of the song?
But, I mean, you know.
You're our unofficial, actually, you're our official music director.
That's all right. We're having some fun. Hands. Yeah, you are.
Wise.
I assume that's what it was, yeah.
You soap and bubbles, suds and bubbles, oh.
Who got the way to move in heavy? No.
Wash your hands. Back. That song sucked. What was he doing?
He's trying
what
to make people.
What strand was Neil Diamond on that one? Yeah.
I wish I knew. I wish I knew, because I'm sure multiple people would be on it if they aren't already. Let's go to Bob in Philly. Let's talk about the Sixers. What's going on, Bob?
Hey, Mark. I just was looking at things. First of all, I agree 100%. Horrible optics for the Sixers. You know, if anything, if they're going to make this move, you should have got out in front of it to at least try to explain what your thinking was instead of having it leak out. But you got to look at it from a business decision. Yes, Harris is a billionaire. So most of, if not all of those billions are in the markets. The market's taking a bath. Most of his diversity is invested into sports. Every sport globally. I think he has an EPL team in there as well. They're all on hold, so it's not just the Sixers. He's looking at this from a global perspective. So how do you keep thousands of people employed when most of the money that you know you have is invested? So from a purely business standpoint, yes, it seems savage on the personal level, but you know, you're in survival mode. That's the first part. The second part for me, this sends the message that looking at it from a business perspective, this isn't a short-term shutdown. It's a much, much more long-term shutdown. So now you're talking about refunding ticket holders and other things that are all, it's a trickle-down. So, you know, you're making a small move now that you hope sticks. You don't have to make the big moves later on. Again, horrible optics. but it may be the right call at the end of the day to survive this sort of ridiculously unforeseen economic impact that we're all going through and all feeling the pinch on.
And Bob, you're exactly right, and that's why I'm trying to I'm trying not to just throw it in their face today. I'm trying to think of this as objectively as I can and try to make sense of it. But the bottom line is, when you do have billionaires and they have already said that they're paying the security people, the ushers, and all that stuff, and that's great, and those are all people in our community as well. But if I work for Josh Harris, if you work for Josh Harris, right? And he's agreed to pay those people, or Bob, if you agreed to pay those people that don't necessarily work for your franchise, but work for the building, and then you don't pay the people that are working for your specific franchise, if you're an employee of the Sixers right now, you feel like you're extremely slighted.
Oh, I don't disagree with you, but from a business perspective, you're trying to keep those people with benefits. You're trying to keep, you know what I mean, all that other stuff intact that costs money when you don't have revenue coming in the door. So from a business balance standpoint, you know what I mean? No matter what, you're at a loss. I mean, if nothing else, Harris could have got out in front of it and said, look, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to cut bonus checks for these people when we are back in business. Or, you know, we're going to look for ways to put that 20% and more on the table, you know, once the league's reconstituted. So, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, they could have got out in front of this as a way of explaining, like, this is just a short-term, you know, adjustment that, yes, sucks, but we're going to try and take care of these people somehow or another. I mean, at the end of the day, he could take it as write-off and cut checks, you know, personally to folks if he really wanted to or needed to or whatever. There's any number of narratives that he could have used to help make the pill a little bit easier to swallow. The fact that you didn't get out in front of it, I think, is the biggest mistake in all this, not necessarily the decision that you made.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for the call, Bob. I appreciate it, man. Good stuff from you. I think that's what really is the more disappointing thing, is that you know that these people are, you know, Bob, these people are great businessmen. I mean, they know what they're doing as far as business. They've been very successful. Where is that kind of, I said, like, financial engineering to come up with a better way to do this? How is this the best way possible that these brilliant businessmen, how is this the best way possible they could come up with?
I don't know. And caller Bob did make great business points. Okay, your revenue isn't coming in, all of that. But the Sixers' actions right now, 2 weeks after games were stopped, it makes it seem like it's an organization that's living paycheck to paycheck. Mm. And I think we all know that isn't the deal. I mean, everybody's feeling financial cuts on all of this, you know. But for an NBA team to be the first of all the major league sports to be the first to come out and say we have to cut salaries, it's almost as if you were looking out for yourself, how to save yourself first and foremost, as opposed to how can I help my employees? Mm-hmm. And optics, yeah, optics are horrible. I understand the business aspect of it. I don't understand the humanity of it.
No, I don't get it either. Let's get Chris from Lehigh Valley. What's going on, Chris?
How you doing? I'm doing really good. How you doing?
Good, man.
Good.
So I'm not a billionaire. I'm not a businessman. But the first thing I thought of when this coronavirus came out was the opportunity, like companies like eSports or any other digital company that could put these NBA players, MLB players, hockey players online playing their games as themselves and competing each other, competing against each other for the playoffs. Like, why can't we use that technology to maybe boost revenue?
I don't know. I would hope that here's my hope. It's that they did exhaust every, you know, aspect of this, and that this is the only way that they could save jobs. And as much as I, as a guy that roots for this team, that has always loved this team, I want to believe that the people running this team exhausted every resource possible before saying, you know what, if you're making over 50 grand, guess what? You're taking up to a 20% pay cut. I want to believe that, but these guys are brilliant. Brilliant businessmen. There's got to be a better option than the one that they just came out with. And again, for it to happen 13 days after your last game, how do it just look? You're grasping at straws if you're trying to come up with a way that to explain this to the average man. There's no way to explain it, unfortunately.
Yeah, I guess I just thought a way to get people through the crisis as leaders of our community, being these athletes and the owners. You know, this is a way to keep your fans engaged. Mm-hmm. You know, you have an audience who's just sitting there waiting to watch something. They're looking for something to engage in. And, you know, outside of social media, you know, there's nowhere, you know, you used to go to games to be social, and now you don't have that. But maybe we could bring it together online, and maybe that'll help people understand their job loss by seeing that they actually care about their fan base.
Yeah, no, I hope that they come up with a better way in the not-too-distant future. And thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. By the way, Trey, I got to tell you, on Twitch, the people like the song. People like Neil Diamond.
Okay.
I'm just saying. They seem to be in favor of they want to crack a smile. They just want to try to enjoy themselves as best as they can. And you know what? Neil Diamond, he puts the feels in the heart, man.
If you need Neil Diamond to tell you to wash your hands, have at it.
Dylan, one more time. Let me get a little bit more. Come on. Let me get a little bit more Neil Diamond.
Do a wiping of the ass song, you know.
Yeah. Wipe your ass.
One way's never enough. Don't judge me.
Don't judge me.
I won't touch you.
No, don't touch me.
Sweet. Square.
Good times.
Maybe
wipes
work really
so
well.
So good, so good, so good.
I've been blind to believe they never would. But
oh, there you
now.
Go. When Neil breaks it down right there, man,
oh,
you got
yeah,
it. You got
it.
You got
it.
You feel good. You just feel good, Trey. See, people, they're into it a little bit.
Okay. Cool.
You know, getting back to the last call a little bit.
Yes,
my mind. So he's talking about, you know, that there's no money coming in for the Sixers and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Wouldn't you think that you have an organization, you have a team in the NBA. Can't you think outside of the box in ways? If you have to make money, if you have to bring in money not to do this to people, to be able to do that? I mean, is it that hard? Look at all the things that you have at your fingertips as an owner of an NBA team. Figuring out a way to make some money while there's a downtime is impossible?
No, it's not.
Right?
It's
I don't know.
Bob,
Get the players together and do something and, you know, make some money if you're that desperate and in order not to have to cut pay.
Okay, so here's my question: how are you going to get the players together when you and everybody's
not together physically?
Okay.
But you know something. I mean,
something
my God,
online.
These guys. Look at what you have at your disposal. You have a guy who's, you know, these guys are world known throughout the world. You can figure out some things to do. Now that's another horrible optic if you're doing something just to bring in money. But if you mask it by, or not even mask it, if you say, yeah, we're doing this so that we don't have to cut employees' paychecks. All right, so be it that way. Think out of the box that way as opposed to this way.
And I had the same thought because your resource is it's certainly the players.
Yeah.
Players have been disbanded. I don't know what you could do if you could do some kind of – because it has to be something where you can't have people together. It's not like you could have a massive signing, but maybe you auction off stuff. Maybe you auction off different things, and maybe some of the other people around the city, around the country can bid on it, and maybe you can raise money for yourself that way before it comes to something like this. And look, I hate to break it down to what would be perceived as a charity aspect, but for all intents and purposes, wouldn't that be better than we're cutting pay? I mean, think of if you're somebody that's, let's just say, making $55,000, you're taking a huge hit here. And I know I pointed out the Scott O'Neill and the Chris Hack of the world and Elton Brand taking this pay cut when they don't have to, but opting to. Hey, if that saves a couple people's jobs, good for them if they're saving that money. But still, to go with something like this when you could be making around 50 grand, anybody over that getting a 20% pay cut, around a 20% pay cut, it just seems like these guys that are so great at business couldn't come up with a better way to go about this. It just doesn't seem, it seems really wrong. And again, this is the day they played their last game. I believe it was the next day, Philadelphia Business Journal put out the story about this group, this Sixers ownership group, still taking care of the people that work the stadium. Not work for the franchise necessarily, because they rent their time from the Wells Fargo Center, but still take part in paying those employees along with the Flyers. That's great. Just 2 weeks, not even, you're on to, well, we got to go with pay cuts in our own franchise. It just seems like an awful thing. 610-632-0975, and it seems like it because it is one. Jamie, do you have your golf, do you have your putting green?
Yes, I just got it out of the closet. I just got to locate some balls. in more ways than one.
I think your wife. All right. So anyway,
of your life.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.